I have a lot to be thankful for. As I was standing back there and realizing today is the first Sunday of 2014, I remember where I was on the first Sunday of 2013. I was here, in a manner of speaking. And the things that were passed, it was like standing at the far end of the valley of the shadow of death and looking back and saying, I made it through that whole thing. And then turning around, looking at the front and saying, where's the light? It's out there somewhere. And then walking with God until I got there. But it's 2014. And I am ready to go. Hallelujah. We're going to be seeing some things happening. And I want to say this. You know, we can get to the point where we can say within ourselves, boy, I would really like to see a move of God. Well then, see it. What's it take to get God to move? Now think about this. What did it take to get him to send his only begotten son to save the world? What did it take? What man do to get that accomplished? Nothing. But how did he get it working in his own life? By believing. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Simply by believing. Okay, so what do we have to do to see a move of God? Is God waiting for so much prayer? Is he waiting for so much holiness? Or is he just waiting for us to wake up and believe? I tell you what, I've been in the move of God now for a couple of years. And I don't plan to let up. Did you know you can have a move of God when everybody around you is dead as a doornail? It's not what's going on around you. It's what's going on inside you. That's what determines a move of God. Hallelujah. Vern's going to read off a prayer list. Then we're going to take any other requests. And then we're going to pray over.
One thing to let you realize that, I don't know how many of you knew it or not, but Miss Martha's hurt her good foot. She's had her Achilles heel ruptured. I don't know, a possible broken ankle. I haven't heard the latest results, but keep her in your prayers, please. We want to pray for Benny Parsons, cancer. June and Jerry. And Dawson Fisher. God's going to restore that little boy. Martha. Ed Jackson. Jeff and Missy and Matt. And Mercedes and Chase and Jenny and Carrie and Lakeisha and the kids and Jacody and Brandy and Josh and Donnie and Herbert and Danny and Diana and Chris and Michael and Kim and Scotty and Nancy and Steve and Barry and Ann and Sonny and the kids and Pat and sons and Debbie and Thomas and Allie and a client, Patricia, for wisdom, her mom and her sisters and her family, and Keisha, Lori, Darla, and Marie, and Edwin receiving healing, and Cheryl Jackson receiving healing, and pray for Shirley and Danny's mother, Pray for Glenn's mother, Dimple Buck, healing of the lungs, and Robert and Donnie Turner, salvation. Elizabeth Morris, wisdom and favor, and Jennifer and the boys, amen. Favor. Amen. Real quickly. Yes, Bonnie. Pray for Vivian, please. Vivian Johnson. Mel. Maxine and Denise Cook, okay.
Robert McKinney.
Robert
Bob
who?
Bob McKinney.
Bob McKinney? Yes, Jenny.
I pray that Buddy will get a good report this week.
Okay. A good report for Buddy, amen. Yes, Pat.
Harvey.
Is someone else? Yes, Gail. Gay. Okay. Gay's family. Yes.
My grandfather, he's in the hospital.
Okay. Annetta's grandfather. Okay. All right.
Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your mercy and your grace. Thanking you, Lord God, that you love us, that you made provision to take care of us, that there's not any of us, Lord God, that you don't take an interest in, that you love us regardless of who we are, regardless of where we are, regardless of what we've done. But you've made provision, Lord God, to place us within your perfect will. You've made provision to raise us up above the corruption of this world. We can be seated with you in heavenly places. And we thank you, Lord God. And I pray, Father, for every name that's been spoken out this morning. As I lay my hand upon this list, we let those names echo in the presence of heaven. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are the solution to all of their problems. You are their Savior. You are their healer. You are their deliverer. You are their King. You're their Lord, their provider, and their protector. You're their wisdom, Lord, in every situation. And Lord God, I believe for you to pour out your anointing and fulfill your covenant with your people. We thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you, Lord God, for your greatness. We thank you for your love. Lord, we rejoice and count it done as we have made our requests. Lord, we know we don't have to beg and we don't have to plead. We just have to ask. We thank you, Lord God, for hearing the prayer that we've prayed this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessing, for your mercy and grace. Lord, I pray for people throughout our country, Lord, that are going to be going through some really, really cold and bad weather, life-threatening in some cases. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll watch after those that are trusting in you and keep them safe. I thank you, Lord God, for being with your children around the world, wherever they are today. Just keep them, Lord God, in your mercy and in your grace. Thank you for our country and pray for the leaders of it, Lord God, all those who are in authority. We give you praise and honor and glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to move the pulpit here for a minute. And I'm going to invite my little buddies up. That's everybody that's 9 years old and under.
Nine
and under. Y'all come and join me and Miss Laverne up here this morning, and we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do something a little different. How many we got? We got 3, 6, 8.
Okay.
There's not another one somewhere. Okay, wow. Be good to have 9.
I want to tell y'all what a great job you all did that Christmas Sunday morning. My goodness, memorizing all those Bible verses. That's great. That'll always be with you, won't it?
Now, I ask you this morning, just raise your hands. How many of you know what an army is? Well, you're gradually going up. Some of you knew. Some of you, well, if they knew, I know. But anyway, an army is a group of people with a purpose. And that purpose is to protect and to defend. Every country has an army. But you know, there's a lot of armies in the Bible. And you know who had armies in the Bible? Abraham had an army. He used his army to go rescue his nephew Lot when some bad people came and destroyed their town and took them captive. Moses had an army. Moses used his army to help Israel defend themselves against the Amalekites. And when they were fighting the battle, Moses stood on the hill and raised his arms, praising God. And as long as his arms were up, Israel would win. When his arms started coming down, the battle would turn against them. So Aaron and Joshua stood up there with him and held up his arms so God's people could win. And then Joshua had an army. And God used that army to help them take possession of the promised land. And King David had an army. And Jehoshaphat had an army. And Solomon had an army. There's a lot of cases of having armies. You know, God has an army. You know, when we ring the bells at Christmas at Walmart and IGA, and we're ringing the bells, who are we ringing them for? Do you know who we're ringing them for? We're ringing them for a group called the Salvation Army. That's a group of Christians. You know, like we've taken the name New Life for the Nations, and some churches have Baptist names and Methodist names. Well, there's a denomination, and their name is the Salvation Army. And they have their own churches, but they also have service units that people join and become part of and help raise the money like we did it at Christmas here in Columbia. And I don't know exactly, but I think we raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000. Maybe even more than that. But it was people helping other people. Now, Miss Laverne is going to do something with you here for a minute to show you kind of what it's like to be in an army. Now, what I want all of you to do is stand up. I want you to come up here, and I want you to make 3 lines with 3 people in each line. One, two, three. One, two, three. Now, you know, you got to make a line. 3 people. 3 people right here. Spread them out just a little bit. Spread them out just a little bit.
All right, now somebody get behind this one.
Okay, now somebody get behind her. Now, Brenton, you get behind her.
Now.
Okay, now if I say, attention. You know what to do? All right. Now, Miss Laverne.
Now, what if we were going to salute somebody? What would we do? We'd go, yes, sir. That's right, Brenton. Sure. Come on. Right. Well, now, all of you probably sang this song a long time ago. And I know I did. And the pastor wants us to sing that. It goes like this. And everybody that knows all this, you all know it. Y'all join in with us, all right? He goes, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Now, do you know it? All right, let's do it. You ready? Now, get into it. Come on. All right, come on. All right. There you go. You know that one? All right. Are you ready? All right. Now, they're gonna march, and they're going to do everything. You ready? All right. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir.
Are they ready to march to their feet? Oh,
and then everybody knows this one. Come on, adults. Stand back up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We used to sing this one, and you know what we used to do? Everybody used to get bold enough. We even had some what we call Jericho marches. Can you believe that? God's got an army marching through this land. Come on. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. And in this army, I've got a part. God's got an army. Well, God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. And in this army, I've got a part. With the high praises of God in our hands and a two-edged sword in our hand, we will march right up to the victor's side, right into Canaan's land. With the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hands, we will march right up to the victor's side, right into Canaan's land. One more time. God's got an army. God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. And in this army, I've got a part. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you all can march to your seats.
Amen. Hallelujah. Show a little enthusiasm. Thank you, Lord. And, Brother Jimmy, can you get that? Hey, Kay, can you get that? That's good. That's good. You know, everybody gets excited when they think about one of these days when we get up there, how wonderful it's going to be and what we're going to be like. But we need to remember what the Word of God says about us now. And the verse of Scripture, or the part of the verse of Scripture that I put in the bulletin this morning, says, as He is, so are we in this world. In this world. There's a lot of things that the Bible promises us that we only need while we are in this world. And yet, somehow or another, the church has managed to transfer a lot of what we're promised here and wait until we get there and get our pie in the sky. But I want you to know, to use that metaphor, there's some pie in the here and now. There's some things that we have already been given that we need to be aware of and to take advantage of. Now, Sister Shirley started all this last Sunday morning with her sermon on Sower in 1:4. That was such a good sermon, I thought I would repeat it. In stages. Her first letter said, seated in Christ. Seated in Christ. Now, if we are seated in Christ, where are we? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, it's amazing how much of this we already know. And it's also amazing how little of what we already know do we put into practice. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to believe it and another thing to act on it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, if I started reading, I don't want to read the first three just simply to save my voice. But it does start out in verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He gave you the opportunity to live and you didn't have anything to do with it. You have the opportunity to live, not by anything you've done, but by what Jesus Christ did. But what you have to do is believe it. You got to believe it. And then He goes on and tells us what a wretched group we were and what a bad condition we were in. And we were just like, we were lost. Part of the children of wrath. And then in verse 4, He says, but God, if you want to really be victorious in your life, you need to concentrate on what God has done, not what you can do. What you do that amounts to anything is only possible because of what he did. Otherwise, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. You know, more than anything else that God can give you, the thing that you need the most is his mercy. You need it more than all the financial blessings he can give you. You need that more than you need health. Because you see, you get locked up in his mercy, and these other things will take care of themselves. Rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now, look at this. Don't chop it up incorrectly. Don't separate it just because it's in two different verses. Look what he said. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now, we have a clause that follows that. It says, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. You realize that that statement tells you when God loved you? He loved you when you were dead in trespasses. When you were a nothing. When you had no life at all in you. You know, bodily functions are not life. You know, in sad situations, you take somebody that's in the vegetative state. Their body functions. But what kind of life do they really have? When we're born into this world, our bodies, including our mind, function. But what kind of life can you have with a dead spirit man? The inside of us is dead. There's only one way of making it alive. And that's what he said here. Now, again, using grammar on this, it reads this way. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. You know when you were made alive? You were made alive when Christ rose from the dead. Now, that doesn't mean that there's nothing that you have to do. But what do you have to do? You have to believe that Jesus Christ died so that you could be made alive. And then you become a living spirit. And there's much
difference in a man or a woman with a living spirit in them than there is with a man or a woman whose spirit is dead. That's where we died when man sinned. We died in our spirit. And did you know, now you think about this. If you can prove me but wrong by scriptures, you come talk to me. You remember when Moses had the conversation with God and he told him to spare Israel, even if it meant blotting his name out of the book of life. You remember that? When you look through Scripture, you find out that the Bible refers to a book of life. But it never says anything about writing a name in the book of life. What it does say is blotting out a name that's already there. If you follow through Scripture, I believe that when Jesus Christ died, it was made possible for every human being ever born to be put into the book of life. But if they have not accepted what that means for themselves, when they breathe their last breath, that name is blotted out. So, all of our names are in the book of life. The ones that will stay there for all times are the ones who accept what Jesus did and say, yes, it's nothing that I can do. It's what Jesus did. It's by His grace and His mercy. Now, all that being said, then it says in verse 6, and raised us up together. Raised us up together with Jesus Christ. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated in Christ, in the heavenly places. Now let me tell you, that heavenly places doesn't mean the final abode that we have in heaven and in the new earth. That heavenly places is a positional point referring to being above and superior to all of the principalities and powers of the air that we have to deal with in this earth. All the things that are a product of the work of the enemy that come against us. And you know, in chapter 1, you want to back up. It says, beginning in verse 19, that we may know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. Not a period. Two more words. What? Us who believe. According to the power, or according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That about count everybody. That about cover everything. Doesn't leave anything out. He's above everything. He's above everything. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now let me ask you this. Unless you are standing on your head, if everything is put under your feet, where are you? We're above all principalities and powers and every name that's named in this world and in the world to come. How do I know that? Because we are his body, and everything has been put under his feet. Therefore, positionally, we are above all things. Therefore, let us determine not to see ourselves under the circumstances. Under the circumstances. Now, if you read the bulletin this morning, you got a little insight on what I'm saying that I'm not going to repeat. But you have a spirit man, you have a fleshly man, and you have a soulish man. Your fleshly man is the body that keeps you functioning on this planet. Your spirit man is the likeness of God that was placed in us when we received Jesus Christ, and our dead spirit became alive. That's two parts of us. One that contacts this world, the other that contacts the unseen world. And to keep them together, we have the soulish realm, which is the mind and the will and the intellect. Now, you will behave whichever way your parts are in proportion. If your mind listens to your body more than it listens to your spirit, you will live a carnal life. If your mind listens to your spirit more than it listens to your body, you will live a spiritual life. And it does make a difference which way your mind chooses. If your mind chooses to side with your flesh, you will quench your spirit. But if your mind decides to side with your spirit, you will bring your flesh into subjection. Now, which way is your mind going to go? It's going to go the way that it receives information the most. If your mind is full of fleshly, worldly, natural thoughts, you're going to struggle to keep from living them. If your mind is filled with the Word of God and the things of God and the Spirit of God, then you will be more able to live spiritually. Now, if your body is controlling you, your mind will see you under the circumstances. If your spirit is strong and working in you, your mind will see yourself seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you will get the results of whichever vision you walk in. As long as you're in this world, you're going to have to contend with the flesh and with the world. But you have the ability to overcome. You overcome because of where you are. And how do you get there? You just decide, that's where I am. It's not because you feel like it. It's not because you look like it. It's not even because you can act like it. It's because you believe it. If you don't believe something, you'll get tired of acting like you do. But if you really believe something, you can press on into it. And you can succeed because of where you're seated. Now, let me read you one scripture to help you to understand this separation. Maybe it'll help you to understand it more than you have. In James chapter 1, there is a scripture that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You just ask for wisdom. It'll be given to you. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What a double-minded man really is a man who cannot decide which way he's going. He cannot decide if he's going to live by the flesh or live by the Spirit. And it's always back and forth, back and forth. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, It starts in verse 2, but I'm only going to read verse 4. The knowledge of God is what it's talking about. Grace and peace. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace, verse 4, by which He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, through what? Through these what? Great and precious promises. Through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? To be seated in heavenly places with the enemy under your feet. Now, you say, well, I try, but I keep falling off the throne. No, you never fall off the throne. You just start thinking you have. The devil can convince you of anything if he can get into your head. He can convince you that you're worthless, that you're not worthy, that you're stupid, that you can't do anything, that you're untalented. And when you start seeing that, you start seeing yourself as falling off where you're seated, fell out of your seat. No. But there's one thing, listen, look. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, in comparison with the glory of God that is to be revealed in us, everything in the world is corrupt. Everything. Everything in the world is corrupt. Now, how do you escape the corruption that's in the world? By recreating the space around you. And you don't do it by what you've done. You do it by believing in what Jesus has done. Every place you go and everything you're involved with loses its corruption of the world if it's in the presence of the Spirit of Jesus. Without that, money in the world is corrupt. Just check it out. Where is all the money in the world? Where is the most money in the world? In the most corrupt places. Who walks around with $1 bills filled in your pocket? Good people that don't know any better. Who walks around with their pocket books and wallets filled with 20s and hundreds. Drug dealers and that like. You ever notice that? How much money can you get in a suitcase if it's all $100 bills? That's how they deal in the big levels. Money's corrupt unless it's been purified by the presence of Jesus. Power, prestige in the world, I can promise you, eventually it will be corrupted. You know the old expression, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's nothing in this world that isn't subject to corruption. Let me ask you something. If you wore your clothes every day, same clothes, and you washed them at night, you put them back on the next day, and you wash them at night, how long would they last you? They would begin to corrupt after the first day of wearing them. And every time you washed them, there'd be a little more corruption that would take place in the fiber of the clothes. And eventually, they'd start falling apart. And I can guarantee you that you could not wear the same clothes for 40 years. But the Israelites did. How was it possible? Because the presence of God with them stopped the corruption. They were fed every day by the manna. But what happened when they tried to save it just in case? It got worms and corrupted. Everything in this world that we seek after will eventually be corruption. But if we live in the presence and the anointing of God and in Jesus Christ and realize who we are and where we are and live that way, the things of the world that we need will not be corruption to us. How many of you know of Christians that got corrupted by money? It wasn't the money. It was the position that the money took in their life. It got more important to them than Jesus. As long as nothing is more important to you than Jesus, you'll always be seated in heavenly places. And you'll find yourself, if you want to look at it this way, falling off your seat a whole lot less. I went, my body, let me put it this way, last year, my body was definitely under the circumstances. But my spirit spent very little time under there with it. I'll be honest. There was a few times when it looked pretty bleak, no matter how I thought about it. But for the most part, my spirit was still above circumstances and my enemy was still under my feet. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't see it some other way other than what the Word of God says. Nothing in Scriptures tell you to grumble and complain under the circumstances. But it does say, rejoice always. It does say, we are more than conquerors. It does say, we're seated with Christ and the enemy is under our feet. That's what it means to be seated in Christ. Don't think about it any other way, no matter what kind of circumstances you have to deal with. If you won't get under them with your spirit will get the rest of you out. Amen. Why? Because of God's mercy. You never earned an answer to a prayer. Never. So if you're thinking that you're going to pray enough and that's going to get your prayer answered, believing in the accomplishment of it, seeing it as already done, and hanging on to that, no matter what the devil brings against you. Jesus did it. He paid the price. We're going to celebrate that now in our service as we take communion together. So let's get ready for communion. When we get everything ready, she knows what to do back there.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
We thank you, Lord God, for the sacrifice of the body and the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we stand complete, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We rejoice and are thankful, and we receive this as our salvation. His body broken for you, and his blood shed for you. As a child of God, this table is open to you. Thank you, Lord God. There's healing and deliverance and power in what this represents this morning. This bread and this blood forgave all of our iniquities and healed all of our diseases. Freed us from the corruption of this world and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Raised us together with Him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord God forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you. We praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We can never thank you enough. Never thank you enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we just done represents everything that you will ever need. It's in Jesus. And that's where we are, in Christ. Start the new year with that attitude. Don't let anything run over you this year. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, your mercy and your grace is so great. Your love is immeasurable, unlimited. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing each one, being special in their hearts because they've made you special. Thank you, Lord God, that you said you are always with us, you never leave us, and you never forsake us. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We still have Christmas cards. You might have some back here. Maybe you ought to check on your way out.